Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. And it has been released. Yes, the Parasymatics sigil to end the coronavirus fear and darkness was released early this morning freely into the public domain for the entire world, for all time, and for the good of humanity. And it is already spreading like wildfire. Just on Facebook alone, people are sharing it, resharing it, sharing it, sharing it all over the world. People are putting it on devices. They're printing it out. And if you are a subscriber to my e-newsletter, then you received it that way. If you go to my Twitter page at Joshua P. Warren, you'll find it there. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll find it there. It's freely available. And as a guy who, well, I created the field of parasymatics. And so as a guy who created this and has been doing it for years, I can tell you that this particular sigil is the Stradivarius, because I've got this process down pat now. And this was done thoughtfully, carefully, meticulously, to perfection. This whole process, this was a perfectly created sigil. And of course, you can find out there the steps that you have to go through to make one of these. But it's a combination of art and science. And when you get this sigil, the idea is you treat it like any other sigil. You just want to look at it as often as possible throughout your day. That's it. It helps if you can think, and you'll do it subconsciously anyway, but think for a second or two about what it represents. And mind you, this sigil is not a sigil that was created to destroy this microorganism. It is bigger than that, because this, you know, I have to be very careful about how I word the intention that goes into these. And this was a sigil created to evaporate the coronavirus fear altogether, to say this whole situation is over. Because yes, there is an organism here, but the coronavirus situation is bigger than that. It is a thought form. It is affecting us not just physically, but it's more damaging to us mentally, spiritually, psychically. This is where it's hitting us the hardest, okay? Because again, you can go out there and you can look at the stats, and the chances of you getting this virus are very, very low. I just watched a news conference and they said that of the people who go to get tested, who think they may have it, of those people, 9 out of 10 of them do not have it. Okay, that's what all that was right there at the White House press conference. The vice president and the head of the all these medical task force and FEMA and everybody, they're all saying, look, of the people who think they have it, 9 out of 10 don't. So the physical threat, yes, there is one. But it's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is how it's affecting us on all these other levels. And so this sigil was created to deal with a phenomenon. And so by us evaporating, by vaporizing, by destroying this phenomenon, then we're doing more than just trying to work against a virus. I think the coronavirus is going to be around forever now. I mean, some genies you just can't put back in the bottle. Wherever it came from, however it came to be, this thing exists, and it's always going to be there. Just like any other virus, you know, you can go back and find the bubonic plague. It's still there. But what we want to do is end this whole thought form, this bubble around us right now, and the fear and the depression and the desperation, because the longer this goes on and the worse off people get economically, then the higher the chances are that people will start to really flip out. All right. And that's when you end up with rioting and looting and problems like that. Because when people run out of money and they seriously have exhausted all their resources, nobody can give them a loan. I mean, they flip out and they resort back to animals at that point, and they'll do whatever they have to do, especially if they have kids or whatever. I mean, people start thinking irrationally. So my God, we live in a country full of people who would have a lot of guns. And there's no telling what they might be capable of doing if they're backed into a corner financially long enough. So we have got to stop this whole situation way sooner than was originally predicted. All right? It's very important. So since I created this thing and put it out there, I have been actually stunned by just like this overwhelming tidal wave of appreciation and love and positivity that's flowed back toward me. People are really taking this thing and running with it and seeing the potential here. Because how do you, you know, what do? You feel so helpless when you watch these reports and you hear about your friends who can't pay their bills and you're like, what do I do? Well, this is part of our process. So, like I was saying before, if we're going to fight this virus, then we have to become a virus of happiness and love. We have to become a virus to fight this thing. And everybody has said nothing but positive things to me, but I will just point this out as an example in case you deal with this. There was one guy who said something negative, and he posted on my Facebook page. I put the, night before last or whatever, I'm going to be releasing this sigil tomorrow, so be sure you sign up for my free e-newsletter list to make sure you can get this thing. And of course, I always say that. I am big on redundancy. They're talking about the possibility that the internet could break down. Because that everybody's at home right now on the internet. Probably more than ever since the internet was created. There are more people just sitting there on the internet. And so you might get up tomorrow and say, well, my Facebook's down, or Twitter's down, or you just don't know. So you have to have redundancy. I mean, if the whole internet goes down, and then at that point, I'm just going to have to find a pigeon around here, and put a cowboy head on him with a little note inside, and I'll send him off. I'll say, fly like the wind, and I'll send him to you, and we'll see how well that works out. But in the meantime, you've got to have redundancy. This guy saw me say, hey, be sure you are a subscriber to my free e-newsletter, and he posts, how shameful of you to use this virus as an excuse or whatever to get people to sign up for your newsletter. He didn't take the time to ask, is that going to be the only way? Or he was just being an fill in the blank. Yeah, he was being an asshole. That's it. He was just being an asshole. And the funny thing about that is I am at the maximum capacity of Facebook friends. They only give you 5,000 friends, and I'm at that maximum capacity. And it goes up and down a little bit day by day if somebody drops off or gets pissed about something or whatever, but it usually stays right there at that 5,000 mark. I never have ever gone out requesting Facebook friends adamantly. I would say 99%, probably 99.9% of the people who are a Facebook friend are people who have sent a request to me. And I go, yeah, okay, cool, you know, and I accept it. I do look at, like, how many mutual friends we may have, and, you know, stuff like that. So this is a guy who at some point in the past asked to be a Facebook friend just so he could turn around and be an asshole on my page there, you see. And now I could have turned around and wrote back some nasty stuff to him and told him how stupid he is and all that, you know? But I didn't. You know what I did? I deleted the comment because it was so stupid, and I just unfriended him. And that's that, okay? And if somebody gets even more aggressive with you on social media, you know, you have options to block them and stuff like that if you want to. But my point is, as you spread this out there, because you have to spread the sigil around, you have to explain what we're doing, you have to, I mean, to a certain extent. I'm not saying you tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry and you stand there on the street corners and shout this, but I mean, you tell it to people that you think might get it. But if anybody comes up and tries to, you know, give you, you know, they're trolling you, basically, that's how you deal with it. You can feed into their bait and get into this negative back and forth, which is very energy consuming. But if you do that, if you decide to play that game, you better be real careful, because eventually you might end up becoming the thing that you hate. That's dragging you down to a lower frequency. And trust me, I have a very hot temper, and I have been in plenty of physical fights in my life. And so I understand, you know, as I get older, I haven't really mellowed that much, to be honest with you. People who know me say, oh, he's such a nice guy. Well, I am a nice guy, as long as you're cool, you know. But I'm also, at heart, a good old boy from the mountains of Western North Carolina. And, you know, that's so, look, my point is, I understand what it's like if you encounter that type of negativity from certain people. Being a Jedi does not mean you have to be nice to everybody. But, you know, you're actually supposed to, you know, what it does mean is you're supposed to stand up for the Force and be a positive force. And therefore, you can fight for, you know, the positive energy. It's okay to fight for that. Just don't let people bait you and drag you down. And if there's somebody, you know, like, I'm totally cool with opposing opinions and constructive criticism. I want to hear that. But if somebody's just outright trying to push your buttons, just don't say, you're not, no, I'm not listening to you anymore. You're done. You're gone. Fuck you. All right? That's how you deal with it. Because there are people, I'm sure, who will be like, this is crazy. What is this? Have you lost your mind? You're passing this wacky looking symbol around. What is this going to do? Okay, fine. If they don't get it, it's just not meant for them. I don't even know why they would speak up and, you know, like, you know the old thing, like, you should not say anything if you're not going to say something nice? I mean, that's kind of a nice little rule to live a civilized life by. Some people, though, they just can't help it, I guess. They just got to do that. So don't let that affect you. But what I'm finding is that the overwhelming majority, like I say, that's one guy who said something to me that was negative. But I know when you start doing things out there in your circles, you may get some negativity as well. But 99.9% of everything that's going on right now is incredibly positive. Incredibly positive. This sigil is, it's going to do something. Okay? I mean, like, at very least, call this a big old experiment of some kind. I mean, that's what really sigils are all about. But I just get a really, really good feeling. I have emails and messages coming in through various forms from all over the world, and everybody is saying, wow, I have a really good feeling when I look at this thing, and something is happening. I feel a little shift, a little tingle. I'm hearing from people that I've never heard from before when it comes to sigils who are saying, man, there's something about this one, the way it looks. And people are trying to interpret it in all these different ways, which is wonderful. Because, again, this is a combination of art and science. And so, you know, my wife, Lauren, and I are a great team because I'm more of the scientist and she's more of the artist. We work together occasionally on these projects where those two just sort of merge very, very nicely together. And this is one of those projects. And so whatever kind of person you are, if you're more of a right brain person or a left brain person, so to speak, maybe it will appeal to a wider range of people, you know, because it combines those forces together. So I can't look at this sigil and literally interpret what it is, just like any sigil, but that's not the point. I mean, as a matter of fact, Lauren was suggesting, well, maybe when we release the sigil, we release it with a hashtag on it, with some kind of, you know, little phrase there, so that everybody who's using it can all congregate together online and talk about it. And I said, you know, that ordinarily that would be a great idea, but when it comes to sigils, that would actually be a distraction from the purpose of a sigil. Like, the purpose of a sigil is to connect with you on a subconscious level at very least. So it taps into something that you don't really understand. It bypasses language, and it bypasses sort of the linear expectations of how you are supposed to view a certain topic. So it's intentionally left off there. All you have is it. It's just boom. You could have a huge white wall with just this thing on it, and just look at it and like, whatever that does for you, it is a vibe. It's an energy. Yes, it's complex. It actually has a great deal of beauty, in my opinion, because I've seen some sigils that look very ugly and disturbing to me, but that's just because, hey, that's the vibe that came off. This is not ultimately, though, a pattern or a symbol that was created by me or Lauren or anybody else. Ultimately, this is just what showed up in the water. This is what Mother Nature gave us. And then we took that and we gave you like a nice crisp version of this to start working with. But this is what came from nature. Putting a certain vibration into a certain type of water at a certain type of ratio and viewing it with a certain type of light and capturing it a certain way and analyzing it and pulling that out. And this is what we got from nature, from Mother Nature. So, keep sending it. Let me, again, tell you, if you're on Facebook, share this thing like you've never shared before. If you're on Twitter, retweet it. I mean, it doesn't even matter if somebody gets it and doesn't know what the fuck is it. It doesn't know what it is. Like, let's say you just sent this to somebody and they open it. And there's no information in that email. They just open it and look at it. And they go, what is this? Doesn't even matter if they know what it is. It's still getting the job done. You see what I mean? It's still exposing them to the energy. Because sigils are antennas for a certain type of energy. So there you have it. That is in your hands right now. And I'm amazed at how every day I get like incredible stories about what people are doing with sigils. You know, recently I interviewed this gentleman, Eric Jorgensen, who had taken the money sigil and the ghost sigil and overlaid them and just had a whole series of outstanding things. Synchronicities and, you know, all kinds of stuff started happening in his life. I interviewed him all about it. And after that interview, I got this email from a guy who is good friend of this podcast and has been experimenting with a lot of my products for many years. He lives in Florida. His name is Joseph. And he gave me permission to read this. He said, inspired by your Eric Jorgensen interview, I made some sigil wallpaper for my laptop. I started with a couple of your sigils and reduced each one to 100 by 100 pixels. and then told Windows 10 to tile them as wallpaper on my laptop's screen. The result is that on my laptop, I have as wallpaper about 10 rows of sigils, each 20 sigils across. This led to an unexpected result. If I look at the wallpaper and cross my eyes slightly, kind of like what I do when I'm trying to see one of those magic eye pictures, the laptop disappears, and I'm looking at a wall of sigils in front of me. It feels powerful, so I'm hoping to experience some good results from this experiment. And he says, no, I did not include the ghost sigil in my wallpaper. So I said, well, send me a picture of that, Joseph. And he sent me a picture. And so I'm sitting there with Lauren, and we're looking at it. We say, holy crap, he's right. And so I wrote him back, and I said, do you mind if I share this with the audience? And he said, no, that's fine. But guess what he did, folks? He also now has incorporated the new anti-coronavirus sigil in there as well. So, thanks to Joseph in Florida, I'm going to post his images for you. And you'll be able to see, you know, how it tiles on his computer, and then also, you know, the specific image that he was repeating. I'll post that for you on my Twitter feed and probably my Facebook page. Again, at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren. Because why not, folks? Give it a try. Give it a shot. You know, Lauren and I have this on our cell phones. You have nothing to lose by trying this. How easy is it to switch one image for another? Just try putting it on this sigil, at least this sigil, to end the coronavirus fear and darkness. But you might want to consider using what Joseph has created and just, boom, like tiling a combination of really positive sigils for love and money and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, man. Maybe one day we're going to have enough of these, and we look at them and they start forming a bigger picture, and then we'll say, oh my God, we've tapped into something and now we can see it. But in the meantime, regardless of the sigil thing, let me tell you what. I'm working on my radionics machines. Dr. Mulder is working on his radionics machines. Tom Vrilock and all of the members of his club are working on their machines. As a matter of fact, Tom Vrilock has this innovative method called tethering, where he takes a bunch of the top practitioners of radionics and psionics and psychotronics and magic and all that, and he gets a picture of their device and locks that in to a centralized device. And so he's sort of connecting us all into a psionic web. So there is, I'm telling you, there is a psionic force field that is being created right now, and it's getting bigger and bigger every single day, and we're using everything we've got here. Okay, we're using all of the strongest stuff we have, because this is a strong and formidable foe that we are against. But you know what? People underestimate the power of what we're doing here, perhaps. But just wait and see. Wait and see how things start to change very soon. So you've got a network of people who are working here with psionics and magic. And now I've started getting some wonderful messages from people around the world telling me about some of their stuff that they're doing with prayer boards and wishing machines. For example, Steffi, she sent me this great picture. I'm going to post, she told me I could post this picture. Steffi has a miraculous prayer board. And you know how I was telling you recently, take a picture of something that you love and take a picture of your country and put them together on the prayer board. Steffi took a picture of herself and her cat Daisy, who passed away 3 years ago. And that image of her with Daisy brings her that sense of love and happiness that I was talking about representing. She put that picture next to a picture of our country and put it on the miraculous prayer board. And I'm going to post this because it's just a beautiful example of this. And you can put them kind of side by side like she has done, or you can put just one right on top of the other in terms of the picture placement. It doesn't really matter how you place them. But and she was saying, oh, my printer was running out of ink, so, you know, the picture's not best quality, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because she looks at that, and she knows what it means, and, you know, and she sees it. So I'm going to post that for you also if you go to my Twitter page there at Joshua P. Warren. Lots of people are sending me pictures of what they're doing, and it warms my heart every single time to see this stuff coming in. I got a message from a woman in Ireland named Ursula, and she just got a wishing machine, and she wrote me and she said, I am delighted to use my first ever go on the wishing machine for such an important cause and when the planet's people are facing such difficulties. I am delighted to be able to tune in and make Belfast and Ireland part of your greater wish, and I applaud everything you said in the email, and thank you for helping me to take some power to act against what is going on. Isn't that kick ass? Thank you, Ursula. Thank you, Steffi. Thank you, Joseph. I mean, like, this stuff is coming. I could go on and on and on talking about what people are doing. Using sigils, using prayer boards, using wishing machines. All this stuff. All these manifestation tools. I'm getting this army of Jedis, like, fired the fuck up, man. And we are doing something on the astral plane, on the etheric plane, on the psychic plane about this stuff. We are going to make this end ASAP because we don't like it. And then we're just going to keep going with that momentum. We're a spiritual army of positivity. But then there is Kate. Yeah, Kate, friend on Facebook, and she posted this. I just saw this about an hour ago. She posted, has anyone tried tossing a virgin in a volcano yet? She might be onto something there. We might be sort of spinning our wheels here, folks, you know, if we just get, well... Don't ever lose your sense of humor, folks. So look, you should have a good feeling right now. You really should. And know that it is true, you should be redundant in terms of all of us keeping in touch and communicating and using this as a forum. Facebook, Twitter, this podcast, my mailing list. You never know what's going to happen with the internet and how wonky things may or may not get. And, you know, my goal has always been not to have the most people in my audience, but to have the best people in my audience. And I've told you this before. I've gotten so many offers from the biggest podcasting companies there are to sign a contract and to just play their game with their platform. And here's when we take our breaks, and here's what you have to advertise, and here's who your sponsors are going to be, and say this many times, and that many. I said, thanks, but no thanks. This is an independent podcast. This is as organic and grassroots as it gets. I'm standing here right now with my headset on, and I'm talking in my own studio, And nobody has a damn thing to do with it except for me. And when I'm done, I will save this, and then I will upload this, and then you can hear it. That is as pure as it gets. So we have got to keep this sort of command and control center intact for all of us to be able to sort of organize our thoughts. But right now, we have got an independent control center for all of you all over the world. We have people using all kinds of different methods. And we are all connected right here, right at this moment, through this network, you see. And we have to keep it that way, a pure, independent, civilian network. And that's why it's important for you to let people that you care about know what we're doing here. So, I got another email. Yeah, Michael. I don't know where Michael lives, but this is just another example of how people are kind of opening their minds to the idea that maybe the world is a little bit more than just the physical part. Michael says, "Hi, Joshua. Just wanted to send some love your way and let you know that the money spell I bought from you," I guess I'm not sure, he's probably talking about the money magic kit, is what I would imagine. Anyway, he says, "Wanted to send some love your way and let you know the money spell I bought from you worked way better than I could imagine." He capitalized the word way. He said, "Money is coming to me from unexpected sources. Thank you, exclamation point, hoping that you are well and safe during these strange times." And that is from Michael. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you sending me that. And by the way, you might think that I just only tell you about, you know, positive things that people send me. That's not true. Just like the asshole who, you know, I mean, look, if you're gonna write something shitty to me, then I'll probably say I got something shitty from this person. So I hope that makes your day. But yeah, I will, you know, I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you that, you know, it's very rare for me to get something shitty from somebody. Most of the time, it's just great stuff like this. I mean, every day, I mean, it's, every time I click an email, I'm expecting to see, like, wow, listen to this. And it gives me excitement to see all this wonderful wave of love. And so here is something to consider, because to some degree, all over the world right now, people are being quarantined and, you know, so to speak, asked to stay home. I mean, whatever it is. Every place looks like a ghost town. And I had to wet the old whistle there. That's another good thing about being stuck at home. You're like, well, I guess I just have to drink whatever the hell I want. In this case, I am drinking a nice white wine. Yeah, and guess what? I just took a swig out of the bottle. I did it again. So anyway, people out there are sitting at home in many cases, and they just don't know how to spend their time wisely. So, and not that you always have to spend your time wisely. Yeah, you know, go there, you know, sit there and watch, binge watch your favorite thing, Game of Thrones, or, you know, whatever. But if you're looking for some interesting things that are more thought-provoking, more obscure, more specialized, like if you want to go down some rabbit holes, if you're that kind of person, and you probably are if you listen to this podcast, here are some things for you to remember. I don't care how good of a Jedi you are. I don't care how sharp you are as a manifester or whatever. This really is a time for us to hit the reboot button, and this is a time for you to refresh yourself. So if you haven't read my book, Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction, in a while, blow the dust off of it, okay? Read it again. There's also an audiobook where you can hear me reading it to you. Also, if you have a wishing machine and you've never used it, or you used it before and it didn't do anything, maybe you didn't know how to use it. So you can watch for free right now the Wishing Machine Workshop movie, which is over 2 hours long. You can watch it through YouTube or Vimeo. Just go to wishingmachineproject.com, wishingmachineproject.com, click the link there that says workshops or whatever, and you will find that you can watch this entire production. I used to charge for it $16.95, and thousands of people watched it for $16.95, but right now it is free, okay? So you can go there and watch that, and it will take you through the whole process of using your wishing machine and how, like, my thoughts on how this works and Dr. Mulder's thoughts and all that stuff. If you go there and watch that movie, at the end of it, you're going to probably be able to pick that machine up and say, oh, now I see. That never made sense. And now you can start using the machine and making it work for you. Okay? So you need to go there to wishingmachineproject.com and watch that. But also, in 2012, you know, everybody was talking about the end of the world, primarily based upon the Mayan calendar. I took advantage of that, and I did a program. I only did one, just one live program in Charleston, South Carolina. And it's, I think, like 2 hours and 12 minutes long. And talk about going down the wormhole. Thank goodness we recorded that, because you really, if you've not seen this, then I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, just give it 5 minutes. Okay, just give it 5 minutes. And if after 5 minutes you're not like, okay, I want to watch this whole thing, well, then fine. But give it 5 minutes. And it's not some kind of like doom and gloom thing where I'm saying, oh, the world's coming to an end and the shit's going to hit the fan. I actually did not say that at all. What I said was, we are moving into a period where a transition is going to take place, where the universe can be analyzed as a sine wave. And sine waves, they go up and down and up and down, and there is a point in the middle, like a baseline. And when you cross that baseline, well, a critical change occurs. And so we are crossing that baseline, and I actually believe that we're on the upward trajectory, believe it or not. I don't think we're on the downward trajectory. I was talking to Lauren about that, and she feels the same way. I think we're on the upward, but this is a period of vast change, and this is what I talked about, and I explained, you know, why and what to expect, and how that this is going to increase our exposure to other types of interdimensional, what I call paratemporal beings, call them angels, aliens, whatever, you know, you just have to watch it. It's free. Why wouldn't you? So if you go to my Twitter page at Joshua P. Warren, you'll find that I posted a link to that recently. Or just go to YouTube, and if you search for Joshua P. Warren 2012 Charleston presentation, Joshua P. Warren 2012 Charleston presentation, you'll find it. Here's what's also really interesting about all this in retrospect. In 2012, everybody was all sort of flipping out and saying, oh, the world's going to end. And I didn't say that, right? I said, no, what's happening is we are heading toward a major transition. And there was this news story. I'm going to read this to you. Stephen Hawking had, of course, he's passed away now. But Stephen Hawking had said, according to this article, the Mayans miscalculated by 8 years. 2020 is the actual end of civilization. So, let me read this to you. Mayans miscalculated by 8 years. 2020 is actual end of civilization. This is from Cambridge here. Let's see here. And this was published in 2012. In an interview with New Scientist magazine, world-renowned theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking has claimed the Mayans, the Mayan calendar's apocalyptic end date of 2012 is based upon flawed calculations. Hawking, a former professor of mathematics at the University of Cambridge, has long since been a critic of the pseudoscience surrounding doomsday predictions, and in the case of claims that the Mayan calendar points to the world ending on today's date, he believes a simple mathematical error has been made. Quote, "In many ways, the Mayans were ahead of their time," Hawking is quoted as saying. Quote, but in any others, they were a little too clever for their own good. In this instance, they made the mistake of double counting bank holidays, meaning their calendar isn't due to run out for a further 8 years. People should actually be worrying about 2020. That's the real end of the civilized world, end quote. Okie dokie. End of the civilized world. Well, look, I don't know. What does that mean? What does the end of the civilized world mean? I don't know. But if you're bored, especially if you're bored, go watch this program that I did. 2012 program in Charleston, South Carolina. And if you have any trouble finding it, you can just email me. You'll find my email address on my website, joshuapwarren.com. That program was based on my book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan, where we get into interdimensional beings and all that. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com and click the link to the Curiosity Shop, you will find that you can read that book instantly, electronically. I think it's only it's less than $10 right now. The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan is there on my website as well. So these are options for you to reboot, reset, refresh, because I don't care how good you are at anything. Any skill that you have, if you do not occasionally stop and say, I need to practice up here again, well, then you're actually going to disappoint yourself and everybody else around you. You have to keep the skill level at a certain point because you practice it. And I understand you can't practice consistent manifestation every single day because you get distracted. Just like you get distracted from anything else that you try to practice every single day. The problem with manifestation is you don't have a choice. Every single day you are creating, whether you like it or not. Every single day you are creating. The question becomes, well, in that case, what am I going to create? So you can create chaos and an unruly mess because you're not bringing any organization to your thoughts or any planning to your thoughts, or you can stay on top of your manifestation work and stay sharp and be a good Jedi, and that is more important now than ever. So I want to thank all of you. I thank all of you for listening to this podcast, and thank you for using whatever means that you have out there all over the world right now to manifest something positive. Sometimes you do have to be backed into a corner, I guess, in order for you to say, all right, this has motivated us to come together and do some serious shit, right? So there are people all over the world. You're not alone. We're all connected. We've always been. but it's easy to forget. Well, I'm reminding you, and I'm pointing that out. We're all connected. You are a manifester. You are connected. You are a creator. You have other people all over the world who are right there with you, your brothers and sisters and everything in between, and we are working together. I don't care what your tool is. Everybody, you know, like, maybe you just don't even need a tool. Maybe you're that good that you don't even need a tool. Fine. But if you are using a tool, I don't care if it's a wishing machine or a miraculous prayer board, or you're somebody who's into wands or gemstones or like whatever your thing is, all right? If you're good at your thing, if your thing works, if your thing manifests, then we need you right now working on this. If it doesn't work, well, let's look at some other options for things that might work better for you. You know, I've told you, I have all this stuff available for you on my website. You might find that you've been doing some method for, I don't know, 10 years that you thought worked, but you could be like a superstar if you started using another method. Doesn't matter. The very least you can do is take that sigil, that coronavirus, the end of the coronavirus fear and darkness sigil. Over. Send that out there. Like I say, it doesn't even matter if people know what it is. It could be spray painted on a wall somewhere. I'm not suggesting anybody do that, but I'm just saying, like, it's the sort of thing that if you saw it, you would just say, I don't know what this is, but wow, this is radiating a hell of an energy right now. That's what sigils do. They transcend what we're used to, and they cut straight to the subconscious. So send it to everybody, and if anybody gives you any shit, you know what to do. Just ignore them, cut them off, whatever. Don't let it get to you. There is more to come. There is more to come. They talk about waking the sleeping giant, poking the bear. Well, that is what has happened here. The giant is awake, and the giant has said, fuck this. We are not having this anymore. This is not the way the world is going to run. All right, my friends. That's it for today. Stay radiant. Stay healthy. Do your part. My website is joshuapwarren.com. If you're really bored, you ought to go there. Look around. Look at some of the pictures and interesting stuff. You never know when I'm going to be updating that. Click the link to the Curiosity Shop. There's some stuff in the Curiosity Shop you will not find anywhere else in the world. You don't have to buy anything. Just go and look at the stuff. Maybe you'll learn something really interesting that, you know, enlightens you, that you enjoy, that gives you an idea. Who knows? Go to the Curiosity Shop there at joshuapwarren.com. And click the link to this podcast. This podcast is called Joshua P. Warren Daily. And also make sure when you're at my website there, sign up for the free e-newsletter. It takes you 2 seconds and you get like the first update when all this kind of stuff goes down. But yeah, click the link to this podcast, Joshua P. Warren Daily. Always short, always free, commercial-free, independent, uncensored. You can subscribe through various means, or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and I will usually tweet when a new one is available. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious, and I will talk to you again soon.